Listen, have you ever heard of anybody praying for 2 months and a baby brother coming out? And like, and everybody's like, nope, never heard of that. It doesn't happen around, not in this neighborhood, it doesn't happen, you know? And so he gives up about a month after prayer. He stops praying. So about a month later, his mom goes to the hospital, and mom spends a couple days in the hospital, and then she comes back home. And so Johnny's mom and dad, they call Johnny into the bedroom where his mom was recovering, and he sees on the bed just this waddle of blanket there. And he walks into the room a little cautiously, and his dad goes over to his mom and where the blanket was and pulls the blanket down, and lo and behold, he didn't have one baby brother. He had two baby brothers. And so John's dad looks at him, he says, "See, son, aren't you glad you did all that praying?" He's like, "Yes, Dad, I am, but you should be glad I stopped when I did." This morning, we're looking at prayer. Prayer, more specifically, prayer as the people of God, and why it's important for us and why it's essential for who we are as the people of God. And, you know, I think we've all been like Johnny at some points in our lives where we've found difficulty in prayer. And the reason why we find it difficult to pray at times is because the very element of prayer is communing and communicating with your Creator. And if you have anybody who's been in an intimate relationship with anybody knows that communication is sometimes one of the most difficult aspects of a relationship. You know, sometimes you just don't feel like they understand you the way you understand you. Sometimes, you know, things don't come across as the way you meant them to come across, right? Communication is sometimes that barrier in relationships, in intimate relationships, and it causes you to, like, get frustrated and sometimes get your reserve from communication. Anybody familiar with that in your relationships, in your marriages or anything like that? Well, the big idea here this morning is that prayer connects us to God. That dude was flying. That guy was flying. Prayer connects us to God's personality, it connects us to His power, and it connects us to His purposes in our lives. And that is essential for us as the people of God, the covenant community of God. It is essential that all of us stay connected to His personality, to His power, and to His purposes for us. You see, everybody in this room has something in common. We all have something in common right now. And that's that we were created by a Creator. And not only were we created by a Creator, we were all created to live in perfect communion and fellowship with our Creator. And not only were we created to live in perfect communion and fellowship, to be in relationship with our Creator, we were created, Jesus died and rose again from the grave. What He accomplished on the cross restored that communion and fellowship with God forever, for eternity. And so now this constant line of communication is opened up between Creator and creation. And so that's what this morning is about. It's about creation communing with our Creator. Creation, you and I, as His creation, communing with our Creator. Well, why is that even important? Why is it important for us to be, as creation, to commune with our Creator? Because as creation, if we're not in tune with our Creator, then we're walking around life blindfolded. Without being in constant communication and communion and fellowship with the One who created us, then we're walking around blindfolded. We don't know where we're going or why we're going there. And so my purpose this morning is for the next 30 minutes to persuade you. It's to persuade you using the truth of God's Word so that you would develop in your own lives a lifestyle that remains connected to your Creator in prayer in all things. Why? Because a life without constant direction from the One who gave you life is no life at all. Life without constant direction and fellowship and communication with the One who gave you the life you have is no life at all. And so what we're going to do is we're going to build a case for why we should pray. And so I've got 3 points and 3 reasons why, and there's lots of reasons why we should pray, but we're focusing on 3 this morning. And the first reason why we should pray is plain and simple, is that prayer brings us closer to God. Prayer brings us closer to God. In James chapter 4, verse 8, it says that when we draw near to God, He draws near to us. When we draw near to God, He draws near to us. And so the idea behind this is that when you pray, you are to bring God everything, all of who you are. Not to leave any bits and pieces hidden or left out. But discussing and listening to his guidance in everything. God, how do I deal with this? How would you want me to approach this? How should I go about this? What does this mean? How do I understand this? Can you explain this a little bit more to me, God? So on and so forth. It's about being completely open and honest with your Creator. Being completely vulnerable and naked before God, in a sense. Well, why would we do that? Simple fact that God cares about every single detail of your life. He cares about every single detail of your life. And so we need to go to Him about the things in our life that are not so great. We need to go to Him about the things that are going great. Talk to Him about that too. We need to confess to Him the things in our lives that are sinful, the sin in our lives. And we need to ask Him to reveal to us what the root of that sin is. What caused that sin? What is the root behind it? What's behind it all? He wants us to talk to Him about these things. We need to go to God and allow Him to shine His light on those deep, dark, secret areas of our lives that only Him and I know about. We need to go to Him with our doubts. Doubts that we all have, the despair that we have, we need to go to Him. We need to talk to Him about our relationship with Him and how frustrating it is sometimes and how I don't understand everything that is going on in our relationship and how difficult it is to communicate it with Him sometimes. Right? We need to talk to these, to bring these things to Him, because we're meant to be close to our God. That's why He created you. And that's why He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross, to be in fellowship with you, to be in relationship and communion with you all the time. And so you see, there's this element of prayer in which you are actually drawn closer to the personhood of God, to His personality. And that it's essential for your everyday life. It's like when someone prays, well, Lord God, so far I've done everything right today. I haven't gossiped. I haven't been greedy. I haven't lost my temper. I haven't been grumpy. I haven't been nasty. I haven't been selfish. I haven't been overindulgent. And I'm really glad of that, God. But in a minute, I got to get out of bed. And I'm going to really need your help moving forward. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen. Right? It's this idea that you need God for every aspect of life. You need your Creator to be close to you in every single area, detail of your life. We need to stay close to Him. In your bulletins, I put a quote in there that you can have and take home with you, but I read this, and this was so poignant, and it says this. The Philip Yancey, who's an author, he said, most of my struggles in the Christian life circle around the same two themes. Why God doesn't act the way we want God to, and why I don't act the way God wants me to. Prayer is that precise point where those themes converge. Isn't that beautiful? Prayer is that precise point where those two themes converge. Prayer draws us closer to God's heart, His personality, His personhood. And from that closeness of communicating and fellowshipping with Him and sharing every detail of our lives and being with Him and being open and honest with Him, when we draw near to Him, He draws near to us. And so you're taking on His nature. You begin to take on His character. You begin to take on who He is, His personhood in your life. And that translates out when you go out to the world. And it's demonstrated to the world around us and your families and your workplaces. You know, as a child of God, as we were just singing, He wants to hear from His children. I love talking with my children about deep things and about things that are fun and the things that are going well, the things that are not going on. There's nothing. I love it. I absolutely love it. And God wants us to be honest and sincere with Him as His children. He doesn't expect you to have it all together. But He wants us to go to Him with everything. So that by our childlike approach to Him as our daddy, and our God, He can set our mind at ease and remind us of who He is and what He's done, and remind us that everything He touches works out for the best. So that's one reason why we need to pray, is because it draws us closer to God. And you and I, as the children of God, need to be in relationship and close to Him. Amen? The second reason why you need to pray is because prayer is absolutely powerful. It's powerful. I don't know if you know this morning or not, but your prayer has the ability to bring about substantial change. Your prayer has the ability to bring about substantial change in this world, in our country, in our community, in this church, in our families, in our works, places of work, in our personal lives. Your prayer has the ability to bring about substantial change. Prayer changes things. And that for me is one of the most encouraging things to remember, is that not only is God listening to our prayers, but He's acting upon them. God is at work on our prayers. James 5:15, you guys, I see all your eyes, you're all reading it already. So, and the prayer says, a prayer offered in faith will make a sick person well. For the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And do you know this morning? That because of the blood of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of Christ has been granted to you. Amen. And so when God looks upon you, He does not look upon you as a sinner. He looks upon you in the righteousness of His Son. And that is a promise that is for eternity. And so when you pray in the righteousness that Jesus Christ has granted to you, His righteousness imputed to you, your prayer is powerful and effective. And so God has chosen prayer to be the means in which spiritual activity begins. He has chosen prayer to be the means of which cause things to change. There are many things in the Word of God that there are many things in God's kingdom that will not happen and will not change unless His people are praying, unless the covenant community of God are in prayer. In Matthew 9, we get a glimpse of God's heart for the harvest. And He says He wants to send out laborers in the harvest that will deliver the message of forgiveness and new life and redemption to all those who are ready to receive it. But Jesus tells us that this will only happen, this will only reach its full potential if God's people are praying and asking Him for it. And Jesus tells us to pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. You see, there's a partnership that takes place in the kingdom of God where God's people are praying and talking to Him about everything and calling upon Him and His power to change things in this world. And so here's what I want you to remember. God releases His power to accomplish His purposes when His people call upon Him for things to happen. And for things to change. God releases His power to accomplish His purposes when His people go to Him and call upon Him for things to change. Prayer changes things. Another example of this is found in Exodus in chapters 31 through 33 is kind of where all this takes place. But at one point, God was really frustrated with the nation of Israel. He was frustrated with them, more than frustrated. He was intending to destroy them. That's what it says. God was intending to destroy His people. And what do we see happen is that Moses prayed to God on behalf of those people. And what we see is that Moses' prayer actually caused God to show mercy. And so God chose not to destroy them. He says, okay, I'm not going to destroy them. You're allowed to go into this land that I promised you. You're allowed to go into this land of Canaan, but I'm still not going with you there. I'm not going to destroy you, but I'm not going to go with you there. So after more prayer, you can find this in Exodus 33, the Lord changed His plan, and He went with him. And so God's response to Moses' prayer shows us a little bit about how significant and unique it is, of how God relates and interacts with His people. You see, it seems that not every decision is absolutely final and irreversible. Amen. But instead, God responds to His people. He responds to the prayers of His people. And sometimes He changes the courses of His actions because His people come sincerely to Him and call upon His name. You see, a community of God's people in prayer have the ability to change history. That's the truth right there. The community of God's people in prayer have the ability to change history. Because we're appealing to God's mercy. We're appealing to his nature and his character. We're calling upon him. And so prayer is powerful. It has the ability to change situations and circumstances. Do you believe that this morning? I think we all need to be reminded of that. I know that I do. I absolutely need to be reminded of that on a constant basis. So why do we need to pray? Because it draws us closer to God and because it's powerful. Thirdly, prayer brings peace. Prayer brings peace. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And then the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Amen. You know what this tells me? Prayer is the cure-all for worry. Prayer is the cure-all for worry. Why? Because when you're in prayer with your Creator, it takes our focus off of the problem and it puts it back on God and his power and his ability, which is where it's supposed to be. When you take your problems and your worries and your anxiety and your burdens to God, it's taking it off of the problem and you're putting it back on the one who is the solution to the problem. And so Scripture tells us that we are to cast our cares upon God, to lay them at his feet, to bring them before him. You see, you were never created to carry the burdens that you carry and the worries that you're walking around with. Jesus died on the cross so that you wouldn't have to carry those burdens with you, so you wouldn't have to carry that anxiety with you and those worries. God's promise to you this morning is this: his peace will stand guard over your hearts and your minds when you bring your burdens to him in prayer. His peace will stand guard over your heart and your mind when you bring your burdens and your worries and your anxieties to him in prayer. And his peace then becomes your protective custody over the heart and your mind. Your protective custody. When we were singing that song this morning, "Fear, I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God." In the first service, I wrote this down, and this is basically what the Lord was just saying to me, is that fear and worry cannot survive when they come face to face with the love and nature of God. Fear and worry cannot survive when they come face to face with the love and the nature of God. And so those are three reasons why you need to pray, and why it's important for every person who calls upon the name of God as your Lord and your Savior to pray, because it brings you closer to him, it's powerful and has the ability to cause substantial change, and it brings you the peace that you need, and it stands guard over your life, over your mind and your heart, so that you can live the life that God has called you. And so those are just three reasons. I could have kept going on about reasons why to pray, but I wanted to give you tools on how to pray, because it's always this kind of thing you're figuring out in your relationship with God. Well, how do I pray? And there's a lot I could say about this as well, but I'm just going to stick with three more things. How do we pray? How do we even do that? And the first way is this: pray always. That's it. Pray always. And what I mean by that, in 1 Thessalonians it says, "Be joyful always, pray continually, giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." In Colossians 4, it says to continue to pray steadfastly, or to pray without ceasing. What? How are you supposed to pray without ceasing? It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't make any sense. I don't know. Is there anybody else like me that where at times you grow tired of praying for someone or something, and you give it a valiant effort, don't you? You give it a valiant effort, and you put time into it, and after a while, you don't see any results, and so you tend to give up. Anybody else? I got two people. Thank you all for your vulnerability and honesty. There it is. But it's like putting prayer in, like prayer becomes like putting money into a soda machine, right? And you put the money in the soda machine, and you press the button for your soda to come out. Nothing happens. You press the button again. You press the button again. Then you get all fed up and you kick it. And then you press it again. And then you just wave your hands. And you're like, I'm done, right? But many of us give up on prayer Because we know, while we know it's something that we're supposed to do, we feel that it just doesn't work at times. And so we give up on it. But here we're exhorted in the Word of God to make prayer an everyday part of your life. An everyday part of your life. To pray continually means to remain in prayer for all things. To remain in communication with your Creator. To be talking with Him constantly. Being in fellowship with Him. In communion with the One who created you. The One who gave you the life that you have right now. The One who has established the purposes for your life. To be talking with Him and communing with Him and being in fellowship with Him all day, every day. To be talking about the good things that are going on and saying, thank you, God, for all the blessings that you have poured on my life. Thank you for the sunset. Thank you for my kids. Thank you for the trials and tribulations that I'm going through, God, because I know that you're doing something in it. It is taking everything in your life and talking to God about it. Letting God be a part of every area of your life. It kind of takes us back to why we should pray, is because it draws us closer to God, right? And so prayer is not just giving your requests and your problems to Him. But the very core of prayer is fellowshipping with your Creator. That's the very core of prayer, is to be in communion and fellowship with your Creator. And so praying persistently means that you're instead of worrying about a situation, you give it to Him right when it comes to mind. Give it to Him right when it comes to mind, realizing that He is in control and that He does what is best. So don't hang on to it. Give it to Him. Give it to Him. In our persistence of prayer, we're demonstrating something. We demonstrate our faith that not only is He listening to our prayers, but that He answers prayers. You're demonstrating your faith in that He is an unchangeable God and that this is what He does. And so in your persistence in prayer, you're demonstrating faith. You see, your faith should not die or fade if the answers are coming slowly. Because it may be that very delay of God working in His will into your life. The very delay of your answers to your prayers may be God saying, I want to do something in your life right now. I want to work in your life. And so it becomes then our responsibility to be submissive to God and cooperate with God and say, God, look, I don't understand why I haven't seen the answers to this. Or I don't know why this hasn't come about. But what is it that you're trying to show me? What is it that you're trying to teach me? What is it that you're trying to do in my heart and my mind through all this as I wait on you? God, what are you trying to shape in me? The second thing is this. So we pray always. The second thing, ask in faith. Ask in faith. In Mark 11, it says this. Jesus is talking and He says, look, I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, go and throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes what he says will happen, it will be done. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Amen! Blank check, everybody. Nah, that's not what Jesus is referring to here. It's not a blank check where we can... It's an open thing, and God's saying here, just get whatever you want. It's not using prayer as magic, but what Jesus is referring to here, He's appealing to our capacity of faith in prayer. Do you believe that God is able, that He's willing, that He can? He's appealing and pointing to the direct relationship between our faith and the answers to prayers. Where does your faith come from? It comes from God. Your faith is not created by yourself. It does not originate with you. Like we were saying last week, right? Your gift, faith is a gift from God. Faith is a gift from God. And so, like we were saying last week, God actually provides you with the gifts that you are to give back to Him. And so faith is not something that you create or that you originates with you. Faith is God's that He gave to you. And so when we pray, we're offering it back to Him and saying, God, I'm going to pray in the faith that you have given me. I'm going to pray in the faith that you have given me. And so when you pray effectively, to pray effectively, if you want to pray effectively, have faith in God. Believe that He is able to. Believe that He's willing to. Believe that He's able to. Believe that He's willing to. Have faith in the subject of the one that you have brought your request to. Don't have faith in the object of your request. God, I am praying for this, so I'm believing that it's going to look like this. God, I'm believing that this is going to work out in the way that I'm asking you to for it. So I'm believing, and I have faith that it's going to look like this. That's having faith in the object of your request. But that's not what he's saying here. The purpose is to have faith in the one that you are bringing your request to. And when he answers, he can answer it any way that he wishes to answer it. And that brings us to our third how to pray. You ask according to God's will. When you pray, pray always. Ask in faith. And ask according to God's will only. You know, a lot of times our prayers are motivated by our own interests and our own desires of what we want to see happen or how we want things to turn out. We like to hear that verse in Mark chapter 11. We like to hear that we can have everything or anything, right? If we just ask and believe it. But Jesus showed us a different model in prayer. And he shows us that when we pray, we are to pray with God's interests in mind. When we are to pray, we are to pray with God's interests in mind. If you remember Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, he's praying. He's just about to be arrested. He's just about to stand trial and be crucified. And he is before God praying. And he said, God, all things are possible with you. You can do whatever you want. You can take this cup from me. You can change my path right now. And you can bring redemption to the world any other way. But nevertheless, he says, not my will be done, but yours be done. Not my will be done, but yours be done. In 1 John chapter 5, it says this. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we have asked for him. So I live by this rule of thumb when it comes to prayer. Ask anything, but expect anything. You know what I mean? Ask anything, but be ready and willing to receive the answer and how it comes the way he sees it to come. Ask anything, but expect anything from God. How many of you know that when you ask God something and he answers it in such a completely different way than you pictured it or imagined it in your mind, but it always turns out better than you could have ever thought it up, right? How many people can testify to that? Look at that. Amen. Amen. There are many places where God allows us and he invites us to ask for anything. But with an understanding that God's answer is going to be God's answer. Understand that you can ask for anything, but you have to be willing to accept that God's answer is going to be God's answer. And that he knows what is best for you. He knows what is best for those you're praying for. He knows best for the situation that you're in and the circumstances that you're in. And so give God the freedom to answer your prayers in the way that he knows best for you. Give God the freedom and the authority in your life to answer the prayer in the way that he knows best. Do not stand up and protest and say, God, until it looks as the way I believe it's supposed to look, let God answer it the way he wants to answer it, because he knows what is best for you. All of our requests when we pray should keep this perspective. Not my will be done, Lord, but yours be done. I want you to remember that God is still in charge and that he still knows what's best for each of you. So keep that perspective in your prayers. Not my will be done, but yours. I heard a prayer yesterday. It says this. Lord, thank you for protecting me from what I thought I wanted, and blessing me with that which I didn't even know I needed. Thank you for protecting me from what I thought I wanted, and blessing me with what I didn't even know that I needed. Not my will be done, but your will be done. Well, how do I know if it's God's will? God's will is revealed in his word. You get to know God's character and his heart and his nature and his will. It's revealed to us in his word, and every believer should know God's will as it has been revealed throughout history and has been recorded down for us in his word. Read your word. Read the Bible. Study it for yourself. Get to know God's heart. Get to know his purposes and his will. If you want your prayers to be powerful and effective, then base your prayers on the promises and the motives of God's word. You want your prayers to be powerful and effective? base them on the promises and the motives of His Word. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
So why do we pray? Because prayer draws us closer to God, which all of us need. Everyone who has been bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ needs to be close to God. He is your source of life. He is your source of peace. He is your source of joy. He is your source of all things. And so we have to remain close to Him. We pray because prayer is powerful and it changes things. It has the ability to bring substantial change. And prayer brings you peace, which you need to stand guard over your heart and your mind. Amen? Amen. Could I have... thank you, Linda. If you would come on up, and we're going to respond to this. Could I have the whole worship team come up, actually? That would be great. Is that okay? We're going to respond to this message because... let me show. Prayer is essential. Amen? Just a show of hands. How many people know that prayer is an absolute necessity in your life? Keep your hands raised if you've ever had a difficult time with God in prayer. It's difficult sometimes. Sometimes we give up because of the difficulty. But it doesn't change all that is involved in prayer. A life without constant direction and communion with the One who gave you life is no life at all. And we find that when we're not connected to God in prayer, life is harder. Isn't it? When we're not connected to God, fellowship and communicating with Him and communing with Him in prayer, life is more difficult. And it's because we've separated ourselves, we've removed ourselves from the source of peace, the source of everything that we need in life. And so at the bottom of it all, prayer recognizes that you can't do it, but that God can. Prayer recognizes that you're unable, but He is absolutely more than able. Prayer recognizes that you are powerless and that He has all the power. Prayer recognizes that you need Him for every aspect of your life. You need God for every aspect of your life. And so what we're going to do this morning is just sit. You guys just lead us through a song, and why don't we stand together? And I want you to think about these words and the truth of God's word when it comes to prayer. And then what we're going to do is we're going to have a time of ministry where we can pray with you. So just sing along for just a few moments and just let this to kind of marinate in your heart.
Set this captive free.
about right there. That's when that relationship with God and prayer, as you rest in His promises, you rest in who He is, you rest in His faithfulness, and you walk away confident and with peace in His faithfulness. You know, I think there's people here that who need prayer. You know, we've been talking about prayer, and you know, you could really use some prayer right now personally and what's going on in your life. And I think there's some people who might be here who have given up on prayer because you don't think that God hears you. Some people here may have been who have separated themselves from God in prayer because of sin in their lives. And you think that God doesn't want to talk to you. You feel like He's disappointed with you and fed up with you. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning that it's not true. Some of you are hurting, and the pain that you're bearing is unbearable. And what you need right now is the healing touch of God. Some of you right now, this morning, have anxiety, and worry, and fear, and it's begun to take over. And right now, what you need is the peace of God to stand guard over your heart and your mind. Well, what we want to do is pray with you. The worship team is going to continue to play up here. And I'm going to make myself available. I've asked Jill to make herself available. And John and Jody and Mike, if you guys would just make yourselves available up here at the front for prayer. You guys can come on up now, and that'd be good. But that'd be good. So, because we want to pray with you, because that's what people do in covenant. We're here for each other. We stand by each other's side. We walk with each other through the hurts, the difficult times, and the frustrations. This is what we're here for. And so right now is a call for prayer. If you need prayer right now, come on forward. Let's pray with you right now. Don't be ashamed. Don't worry about what everybody. Everybody in this place needs prayer. So don't be ashamed to come on forward. But we're gonna close the service right now, and the cafe is gonna open. So just make yourselves, stay in fellowship for a while, but please be aware of what's going on up here, that we're praying for people, and that we're going to be doing some ministry time up here. If you want prayer, stay in the service, stay in the sanctuary. We're going to dismiss you guys now. God bless you. Have an amazing week. And if you would like prayer, now's the time for it. Okay? We would love to pray with you.
Gonna measure up. All I can do is thank you for